If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to John, the 15th chapter. We're looking at chapter 15, verse 12 through 16. And so we're concluding our series of sermons on master life. We have taken the memory verse from each week and we've expounded upon it. Those that have been doing the study each week are getting a much more deeper perspective of that memory verse and what it's calling for us to be involved in. I remind you of the disciples' cross, that cross that we are to pick up and carry with following our Lord Jesus every day. The components of that cross builds out to be the kind of disciples that we're supposed to be. So we pick up that cross. The center of the cross, of course, is abiding with the Lord Jesus. We stay connected like the vine and the branch. Stay connected, and it produces fruit. Then we study the Word, the Bible. We get to know what the Lord has said, what Jesus has taught us, what the Father gave to all those in the past. And then we talk to the Father through prayer on the top of that cross. And in that experience, we're communicating to Him, not as a servant and master, but as a friend of the Lord Jesus, and we can communicate with Him. But we come back to the center, and our relationship with Christ will cause us to minister to others, to share with others, and that is the fellowship that we're involved in. And coming back again to the other side of that, there is evangelism. So as we fellowship with one another, we're going to evangelize the world. Now, all of this encapsulates the reality that we are called to minister. We're called to serve the community, the people that are near us, that are with us, the people of this world. And so as we abide in Christ, we're going to minister to others. This is what John 15, 12. This is my command, love one another as I have loved you. No one has a greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore because servants don't know what his master is doing. I call you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go in to produce fruit, that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Father, we pray that you would help us understand the passage of Scripture that calls for us to love you and to love others, to minister to others. Father, give us a compassionate heart like the Lord Jesus. Give us a heart like the disciples that are willing to go all over the world and tell the gospel, minister and care for others. Give us that heart as we live in this community for the purpose of representing the Lord Jesus and his power and his love. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you rip back into the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus, you're going to find little snippets of things that he said that encourages us, that we are to be involved in. One of those is found in Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever wants to lose his life because of me will find it. There is that reality that Jesus has called from us the same kind of sacrifice that he was willing to give. And as we focus on the life and the cross-bearing that we're called to do, we're reminded that abiding in Christ's love compelled the disciples to love others, to obey Christ, and to bear lasting fruit, to produce lasting fruit. Now, the heart of discipleship is expressed in ministry. Ministry is the way we serve others. It's our service to others to be involved in. We think of missions as ministry. We think of evangelism as ministry. But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than fellowship. It is when we intentionally do things to help, to support, to aid other people in the life that they are living as a result of the circumstances and the events and the problems that have come into their life. Now, the cross is the symbol of Christ's love. Every true disciple's life revolves around the cross. The cross that was on Calvary. We must understand that that cross is a symbol of not only Christ's sacrifice, but also of his love. He was willing to pay the price of your sin. He personally bore your sin on the cross, paying the price of your sin so that you could have eternal life. But more than that, he showed his love for you. That whole concept of love your enemy. Not just love your family, not just love your friends, but love your enemies as well. The disciples' cross that we've learned about is that very meaning of what it is. We abide in Christ, we live in the Word, we pray in faith, we fellowship with believers, and we witness to a lost world. Now, our love is the heartbeat of discipleship. That is the heartbeat of who we are and what we do. This week, we come back to the center of the cross, the Lord Jesus. Love is the heartbeat of discipleship. Without love, obedience becomes a duty. If I do what God says simply because of being obedient to Him, it's a duty. It's a work for what we're going to get, you see. Witnessing becomes a performance. When I tell other people about Jesus, I'm performing so that people can see me and understand what I'm doing. When I fellowship with others, it becomes hollow. It becomes empty. You know people that you know, people that you've been around, people that you've worked with, people you went to school with, people that no longer have that close, personal, intimate relationship. It is just hollow. It's without meaning. As much as Gene and I enjoyed going back to Providence a couple weeks ago, there were people that we saw that the relationship that we had 33 years ago no longer exists. And so it was a hi, hello, shaking hands, maybe a hug, maybe a couple of words about the children or something like that. But it wasn't that deep relationship we had when they were deacons and Sunday school teachers and witnesses working together, serving our community. It was different. And so you have to have the kind of love that Jesus is talking about. And he commanded us to love one another. Jesus gives us the command in John 15:12, love one another as I have loved you. You see, there's much to that. Jesus' love is not only our example, it is our primary example. It is the example that we have to follow. His love allowed him to give up everything and come to earth as a man. In our study on Wednesday morning, we're looking at Philippians. And in that experience where we are in that second chapter, Paul outlines everything that the Lord Jesus gave up in heaven to come to earth as a man. The creator of the universe, the Lord of lords, the controller of everything, gave up everybody and everything and came to earth to simply be a man. Paul said that's as low as you can go. Not only did he go to be a man, but he became the price for man's sin, all men's sin. He became sin for us. That's how far he came down, and his love was demonstrated. Now, to love like Jesus requires obedience. We have to obey him to love like him. Love and obedience are inseparable. Because I loved him, I'm going to obey him. That was the kind of relationship I had with Dad. Yeah, I was scared of that big long belt he had. Yeah, I was scared of being punished in some other way, not being allowed to do things I wanted to do. But after a while, it was overtaken that I loved Dad and I wanted to do what he wanted me to do. And so I became the favorite son because I did what he wanted me to do. Now, that was interesting, isn't it, to think about that? You see, Jesus is not looking for an emotional affection. He commands an active love. Oh, I can love you, just sit here and watch you. No, that's not what he wants. He wants us to be active in what he's told us to do. You see, you can lose emotional affection. When it's based on emotion, it can go away. It can die. It's built on emotion. Now, I love South Carolina football, and it's getting tough right now because we're losing so much, you know. And so that affection that I have there can go away. I love Diet Dr. Pepper. But when I go to certain restaurants, they don't have Diet Dr. Pepper. I have to drink Coke Zero or Diet Coke or other Diet Pepsi or something like that, you know. It's that relationship that I have with them is really not that important. I love hamburgers. I love sunny days. We have cold days. We have rainy days. We have cloudy days. I mean, that's just the reality. I don't give up life because those days don't come when I want them to. There is that idea that the emotion, that the feelings, that the thoughts that we have is what it is. No, all that kind of love is built on feelings that are stimulated by the senses. It tastes good. It smells good. It sounds good. You know, those kind of things are going on in our lives. Our love for Jesus is proven by our obedience to his word. When we do what he has told us to do, we prove our love. This kind of love is based on and demonstrated by our obedience with the accomplishment of his commands. When I do what he tells me to do, the master life truth there is obedience is the test for abiding. If you don't obey him, you're not staying connected. You're not obeying. You're not doing what he was. Now realize Jesus was dead. As the disciples, our love cost us something, he said. Here he was dead. The comfort, the pride, the envy, all those things that were going on. Tradition says that the disciples were martyred. They were still people dying today because of their faith. Jesus died because of his commitment to the Father's will. The disciples died because of their commitment to Jesus' will. Do you know that there are places in the world today that a group like us could be together in some building, under some tree, in a house somewhere, and there are people in the community that would come up and bind the doors, lock the doors, and set those buildings on fire just to watch those people die because they're followers of Jesus. Now, would we do that? Would we risk that kind of thing happening in our life? Tradition says that all the disciples were martyred. There are still people that are dying today. True disciples love others enough to serve, to forgive, and even suffer for Christ's sake. They're willing to do that. Abiding in Jesus renews our heart to obey. Every time you are successful in obeying one of Jesus' teaching, your heart is moved with joy. You look at, I'm not talking about pride now. Oh man, look at me, what I did. No, you're looking at Jesus and saying, thank you for allowing me to do that, to be involved in that. That was a guy I had lunch with Friday that I haven't seen in a number of years. And he went back 20 years and said, you know, I remember you invited me to lunch one day, and I had no clue why somebody like you would want to eat lunch with me. You had position. You were known by everybody. You had authority. You had all this stuff, and you wanted to have lunch with me. Why? And he said, as we sat and you poured your heart into me, I began to understand why you are like you are. He said, you love Jesus, and you wanted to serve Jesus. Man, that was sweet. I don't even remember the lunch that I had with him, but it marked his life. What command are you being challenged by today? Are you being challenged by abiding, staying connected to Jesus? Are you being challenged by studying his word, investing time every day to look at what the Bible says? Are you being challenged by talking to him in prayer? I don't mean those last minute prayers. Well, God help me. No, I'm talking about that deep communication with the Father so that you learn Jesus' will for your life, Jesus' purpose for your life. Are you ministering to others? Are you caring about others? Are you serving others? Are you fellowshipping with others? Are you evangelizing? Are you telling people as you share the gospel? Indeed, if you're not obedient in these areas, it is a heart problem. It's not because you don't have time. It's not because you don't have energy. It's not because you don't have all the things that you could list in that excuse. It's because your heart is not right. Your heart is not focused on God. Your heart is not listening to God. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. When you don't do what he's told you to do, it's because you don't love him. And if you don't love him, he said what was going to happen. He said, depart from me, you cursed, for I never knew you. Our love has to be daily. You see, abiding in his love transforms relationships. I do not call you servants anymore. I call you friends. We're moved from servanthood to friends. Servants are required to obey out of duty. No questions, no ifs, ands, or buts. When I say do it, you do it. That's the idea of a servant. There is no say in what's going to happen and how they do it and what they do it. They don't know anything about what's going on, what's happening, what's being required. Excuse me, when I went to the Brotherhood Commission and to the North American Mission Board, I was low enough on the totem pole, I didn't know the big picture. It was only after I became a team leader that I was invited into those special meetings that were discussing the future, discussing what's going to happen, discussing the reports, what has been accomplished, what we need to do. I became more involved, and I became friends with the other leaders of the organization. They developed a relationship of trust and dependence and relationships. Servants don't know. Friends know. Jesus said, friends know more, and they obey out of love. Our friendship with Jesus is based on our intimacy with him. Because we know and love him, Jesus reveals his heart, his purposes to those who abide in him, those that stay connected to him. By abiding, we deepen that intimacy with Jesus. We get closer to Christ in our relationship. The more we remain through our prayer and our Bible study, the more we obey his commands, the more he becomes clear to us. You know, I'm not twiddling my thumbs trying to figure it out. He's going to put his finger on it and say, Mickey, this is what I want from you. It's happened so many times in my own life. Studying his word, he reveals things to us. Because we know and love him, he reveals his heart to us. Friendship with Christ doesn't replace reverence. I'm not talking about that. But it deepens that intimacy. It gets closer to him. Walking with him as a friend provides context, too. You see, when we remain with him in prayer and fellowship, Bible study, those things, we understand more his will, his purpose, and it becomes clear to us. Friendship does not replace reverence for our Lord and Savior. It deepens our relationship to him. We see more. We understand more. We are more in awe of who he is and what he does. You see, he is high and lifted up. He's holy and righteous without sin. And we experience his love and mercy and grace. Therefore, we're going to honor him and we're going to obey him. When he did things for us, we love him even more. Have you moved beyond knowing Jesus to walking with him as a friend? You remember throughout that vertical beam Bible study and prayer of the disciples' cross, we keep our relationship vibrant, active, refreshing, daily with the Lord Jesus. Now, abiding with Jesus produces fruit. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You're chosen to bear fruit, and that fruit will be lasting. You're chosen to bear lasting fruit. Jesus chose us not just for salvation. That's what most people think about Jesus. I get saved. No, he saved us for service. We're saved to serve. We abide to serve. Many people believe that they have simply escaped hell to enjoy heaven. Oh, think about that. They expect because they have believed, God is obligated to give them whatever they want, whatever they ask for. Grant them the wonderful blessings of life. Grant them today. Grant them a place in heaven where they can eat bonbons and lie on a cloud for all of eternity. No, that's not the way it is. That's far from it. Jesus said when we abide in him, when we know him, when we love him, when we become friends of him, we're going to serve every day. We're going to do something for him. The fruit we bear refers to the character and the converts of our lives. Of course, the character, we go back to Paul's description of the abiding of the Holy Spirit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If Jesus is our friend, then those things are a part of our life. Now that makes some of us step back, isn't it? That's hard to come to grips with when I'm grouchy and I'm mean and I'm impatient, I'm not kind, all those things, I'm not faithful as I should be. We have to realize when we're abiding, when we're connected through Bible study and prayer to the Lord Jesus, those things are going to be a part of our life. But that's not all. He said converts are those people that we introduce to Jesus. You remember the last words that he said to the disciples, according to Matthew, was go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I've taught you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the world. In fact, he said, remember that I am with you always. You see, as we go out into the world, whether it's in the darkest part of Africa or the deepest jungle of South America, or if it's on Mountain View Road, Jesus has promised to be with us and help us deal with the people that confront us every day, that we can share the gospel with them. That's the purpose of us being saved, not to look forward to heaven, but to serve Jesus as Lord of our lives. Now, fruit that remains comes from abiding. That is, things that we do that has purpose and meaning in eternity come because we stay connected to Jesus. Apart from him, we can do nothing, he said. If you do not remain, if you do not abide, if you don't stay walking with Jesus, you'll never be able to produce the fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to give you every day in your life. You will never be able to be used to introduce other people to faith in the Lord Jesus. Abiding disciples bear fruit that lasts. They will have an eternal impact through the love that Jesus has for them and they have for Jesus. They bear fruit, the Holy Spirit, and they make other disciples. Now, prayer connects love and fruitfulness. That is, and whatever you ask in my Father's name, he will give you. Whatever you ask my Father in my name, he will give you. Now, understand, prayer is not a wish list that we take to Santa Claus or to a grandparent. That's not prayer. Prayer is a communication. It means that we align our desires. We align our lives. We align who we are. We align what we're going to do with the will and the purpose of the Lord Jesus. We abide. And when we abide, we come to know Christ's will. And we will acknowledge and ask him and acknowledge him and his will. And there will be fruit. It will multiply. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There have been two people that worked with me, two administrative assistants. One was Paula Russell and the other was Donna Johnson. And I don't care what was going on. If somebody came to them and say, you know, we need to call Mickey and find out about it, both of those women could say, I'll tell you what he's going to say. They knew me well enough that they understood what I would say. They knew what I would do. They knew what I would pick out of the options. Are you sure? Yes, I can tell you that's what Mickey would say, Mickey would do, or what he would want you to do. And so they would walk off and do it. Well, a little while, typically they would call me, Mickey, I just did, and I just said, now what would you do? And I said, I'd do exactly what you said, you know? They knew me. Gene knows me that way. My children know me that way. They know how I'm going to respond. They know what I will do. They will know what I have to say. Why? Because of the relationship, the love relationship. It's intimate, it's deep, it's personal, it's knowing, it's understanding. That's what we do when we serve the Lord Jesus. When we study His Word, when we pray, when we abide in Him, those things that come out of that relationship is going to touch the world around us. It's going to make a difference. Lasting fruit grows out of love that abides, is what he's saying. Is your life producing fruit that will remain after you're gone? That's always our concern, isn't it? Well, I want my family. I know people right now, they're struggling because they've come to the end of their life and it's not going to happen the way they wanted it to happen. So they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to struggle with it, trying to come to grips with it. But the more I listen and the more I watch, I understand the reason it's not is because the love relationship is not there. We have to be careful with family. Abiding in His love reflects the cross. When we abide in Jesus, it reflects the cross. The cross is a picture of Christ in our life. What He is, who He is. That vertical beam is the relationship, God abiding with Christ, prayer and Bible study. The horizontal beam, again, is our relationships with others, the fellowshipping, the witnessing that we are called to do. The center, what encompassed all of the cross, is love. The very heart of Jesus' command to love one another, to love your enemy. You see, Christ's love must flow through us. Therein is a problem. If we don't abide in His love, it can't come out of us. It's never going to reach other people because it's not there. I can pick up my coffee cup right there and drink it again, but you know what? There's nothing in it. I'm going to get nothing when I pick it up. If there's not a love relationship with the Lord Jesus in our lives, we're not going to be able to touch other people with the gospel. Christ's love flows through us. The cross shows us the kind of love. It's not a feeling to be admired. It's a life to be lived, a life of sacrifice, a life of dedication, a life of ministry, a life of service. Out of His love, we will minister to everyone. Abiding in His love means we live the cross-shaped life, surrendered to the God and serving other people every day. Now, what change will the disciples' cross make in you? As we close our Master Life study, this first book, The Disciples' Cross. There's three more books we're going to look at over the next year. But those other three books, as we begin to look at them, we close Master Life, The Disciples' Cross series. Abiding in His love will not be the end of the journey. It's the beginning of fruitfulness. It's beginning of producing more disciples. And folks, you can look around. We have to produce more disciples if we're going to survive as a church. We won't last much longer if we don't begin to do something to love other people. You realize that within 10 minutes of this building, 35,000 people do not know Jesus. We must do the very things to minister to them and share the love of Jesus like He called us to do. The process of Jesus igniting into the life of an individual is clear. Love leads to obedience. Obedience leads to friendship. And friendship leads to to fruitfulness. If we love God, we're going to obey Him. And if we obey God, we're going to be friends with people. And if we're friends with people, we're going to win some to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all. Remember I said the best days that we had in disaster relief, that was every 7 times we presented the gospel to individuals. We shared the plan of salvation with someone, one person. That was 10 years ago. I just believe our culture is not going to be like that today unless we have a Harvey, a Hurricane Harvey, a Hurricane Helene, or those kind of things happen in our community, and we have a chance to do it. But we've got to figure out how we're going to touch those 35,000. The other 15,000, I would dare say, if it's running by average, probably 10,000 of them are not involved in Sunday morning church anywhere. They were in the past, but they give it up. They've got over it. They've let it go. When the love of Christ flows from His heart to our heart, it flows through us to others. You become a living witness for Him. Now, the question to us today is, believer, will you go back to Calvary? There's a beautiful song, a hymn, "I've Been to Calvary." There's been a number of other gospel songs that call us to go back to Calvary. Go back and stand at the foot of the cross. I remember the first time I saw the movie, The Passion of Christ, and the cross. I'm told that when our people used it in that film, translated in other languages, in other parts of the world, they would have a way of setting up a projector and a screen and a battery or either a generator. And they would show the movie on the screen that when the crucifixion happened, the people in the audience would pick up rocks and throw them at the screen to try to stop the wickedness that were going on as they beat and nailed Jesus to the cross. As they placed the crown of thorns on Him, and as the blood dripped from His hands and His feet and His sliced open side, the people of everyday life in these foreign countries could not stand that image. Folks, if we go back to the cross in our own minds and hearts, and we remember what it was like that day or that night when we asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins, and He washed us with His blood and gave us forgiveness and mercy and grace, we will understand love again and begin to love like Him. But you have to return to the cross if you're going to remain in love, if you're going to abide in love, if you're going to serve in love, if you're going to obey in love. You see, abiding requires obedience. "This is my command, love one another as I've loved you. No greater love than this, that to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." There's the key. If we abide, and abiding transforms our relationship, Jesus said, "I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what the master is doing. I've called you friends because I've made known to you everything that I heard from the Father." Do you realize that? That we can know what God wants. So many people say, "Mickey, I just don't know. I never hear God talk. I never know what to do." Then it's a love problem. You don't abide with Jesus. You're not staying connected to Him. You're not studying His Word. You're not talking to Him. And abiding produces fruit. "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and produce fruit, that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask of my Father in my name, He will give you." That's what we're called to do, ministering to the world. How do we revitalize Pinecrest Baptist Church? We've been talking about it 2 years. How do we revitalize Pinecrest? How do we make us bold, beautiful, reaching out, touching, and changing our community? Jesus was very clear. Love, obey, serve Jesus. That's the bottom line. We're not going to change our community. We're not going to change our church. We're not going to change people around us unless we love, we obey, and we serve Jesus. Now, if you're an unbeliever, you have to come to the cross. You come to Calvary, to the place where Jesus sacrificed all to introduce you to his love and grace and mercy. You see, that act of love was when Jesus laid down his life for you. You can receive that friendship. You can become a part of the family of God. New life will become yours today if you will admit that you've sinned, believe Jesus can save you, and that you confess him as Lord and Savior, and you dedicate yourself to be a disciple of his. It's just that simple, isn't it? But the reality is, we just don't want to give it up to him. We want control. On YouTube, I watch a lot of those police chases, you know, people running from the cops. You're not going to succeed. It's not going to end up. You want to stay in control. The next thing you know, they've taken a car and bumped your back bumper, and that all rolled up into nothing all of a sudden. It's just that simple. You see, if we're not abiding, loving, and responding to Jesus, Satan just bumps us and it rolls up and it's all confusion and over with. We have to obey. We have to love. And we have to serve. It's just that simple. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that you would speak to our hearts and call from us a decision that would be pleasing unto you. Let us go back to Calvary today. Let us understand the depth of the love the Lord Jesus had for us. When I deserved hell, when I deserved eternal punishment, when I deserved separation from you, he loved me enough to die on Calvary and offered Mickey forgiveness and cleansing of sin. I thank you that that was an experience that I had as a 10-year-old. But I thank you for every day since then that you reminded me of your love. I may have gone off on my own and ignored you at times, but you still love me. You still touch my heart. You drew me back to you and then sent me out again to love the world around me. Help us today make the commitment as we leave this place to love the world that is around us enough to minister to them and share the gospel with them. Move in our lives. Call from us a commitment, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.